Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Hout, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
I mentioned in the last podcast that we are looking at trends. Now, I want to be clear. Some people think that trends are trends, but trends are not always trends. It works like this. The first thing you do is what I would call horizon research. You look at things that are developing way out there, and then you begin to say, are there outliers? Are there things that you don't see, but they're sporadic here and there, especially in church life? And then you ask the question, are there trends among the outliers? And after that, you say, okay, are those outlier trends going to translate into church trends? What we're doing here is we're trying to get that intermediate point, not the horizon research where we're looking way out and just speculating, are these things going to be outliers? But what we're looking at are these, where these outliers are becoming patterns. And last time we talked about how we're going to many part-time people in ministry to replace the full-time. And then today we're going to talk about patterns in ministry training. And one of the best patterns in ministry training is to get your education and your ministry training at Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, this is not a trend. This is a real thing. I mean, this is happening because, man, we've seen that thing explode at Midwestern. They've gone from like 1,100 students to 3,800 in just 5 or 6 years. So it's been amazing to see the growth there. And today's episode, as always, is sponsored by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. They offer more than 25 degrees at both the undergraduate and master's level that are fully attainable online. From business to Bible, counseling to Christian education, you can prepare for your future at your own pace in your own location. You can learn more at mbts.edu/online. I've got a feeling that online training and degrees will come up in today's podcast.
Probably pretty quickly.
Yes, he says as he looks at the outline.
Yes, I'm glad you reviewed the outline before we went through to the recording.
So, all right, first trend that we're seeing, or not just trend, but this trend, the first aspect of it, the digital trend is not slowing.
The trend is the acceleration more than the fact that there's digital training.
The pace of change is coming faster than ever.
Yeah, we have looked at a number of trends related to the Amazon factor. And there was this tipping point in the digital world in a number of ways. I'm not going to bore you listeners with all that type of information, but there was a tipping point in 2018 and a number of digital issues. And it's really just now beginning to the point that we're saying the digital world is common. For example, as I'm doing this, I'm beheaded to Vanderbloom. And by the time you hear this, I will have gone to Vanderbloom and to do one of their breakout sessions with some of their leaders. I will have gone online to Uber to get a vehicle. Mm-hmm. That's something I would not have done in the past. I would have done a rental car. Yesterday, I punched the shipped button on my app and got groceries. And I could just go on and on and on. I have one of my
sent my wife flowers the other day with Amazon.
That really works well through Whole Foods.
Yeah, Amazon Prime now.
Oh yeah, boy, you can get a
little. You tipped me off to that one. That was a nice little deal.
You get a lot of nice flowers pretty quickly. And did you get yours in an hour?
I don't know what it was. It didn't come to me, so I mean I don't know when they got there, but it was relatively quick.
All right. Whole Foods delivering. Think of the disruption in the florist business that's going there. My point in all of this is not that the digital trend is something new, but that the digital trend is accelerating. And I put it in the negative here. The digital trend is not slowing.
No, not at all.
I've told you the story. You already know this one, but I've told you the story of how we started online courses at Southern Seminary.
Yeah, mailing stuff out. That was correspondence courses.
Mailing DVD. Well, it was online because we then had chat rooms and spoke to each other through email. That's all we needed to do, Jonathan. I'd call it correspondence.
You're stretching the definitions.
Jonathan, we didn't have streaming back then.
I know.
It's all we could do. We were on the bleeding edge just to be able to get these things out. And I can remember John Ewart, who then worked at Southern, working feverishly to pack those DVDs into boxes and send them out.
That's why we don't do physical products at Rainer Resources.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So the digital trend is not slowing, and that is a definitive issue in ministry training.
Number two, degrees are becoming shorter. How long was your MDiv?
96 hours.
How long is the new MDiv at Midwestern?
85.
81.
81. Wow. There you go. That's five courses shorter.
Yes.
15 hours.
That's five, a whole semester.
Five courses. Well, it's tough.
At least.
It's tough to take 12 hours of seminary courses because they have so much reading attached to them.
A spring and a summer.
Yeah. That would be a good point. Spring and then a mini term would be, and wow. I could have used an 81-hour degree when I was – I could have used some of them to have been online as well. So degrees are becoming shorter. Another thing that's happening is many accepted ministry degrees are 30 to 36 hours.
Well, the MA now.
Yeah.
People are going with the MA instead of the MDiv, the classic MDiv.
Right.
And even some of the MAs, you can get the MA with a concentration for 50 hours or 52 hours, something like that, 49.
Yeah. Or you can do an MA in church revitalization for 37 hours.
There you go.
As one example. So the degrees are becoming shorter. That is just a reality. And that really, from the point of view of training those who are on your staff, that is helpful.
All right, number three, we're getting positive reports on the blended approach.
All right. This is one of those things, Jonathan, that might be a bit of horizon out research. It's definitely outlier research, but we're beginning to see a return to in-person. It doesn't mean that we're going to have the on-campus experience like we have done full-fledged in the past, but people are beginning to see the benefit of interacting in person.
Yes.
And that it'll be different than the way we've done it in the past.
Well, if you have the opportunity to learn, if somebody wants to learn from Tom Rainer, and they have the opportunity to listen to a podcast, which is great. You know, I think so. I think the host is awesome. Or listen, watch a video. Or if they can come and learn from you in person, they're going to want to learn in person.
I don't know.
A lot of times.
I don't know.
There's benefits that you're going to get from learning in person.
I don't have a personality.
Yeah, I know that, but they don't know that.
So they think that they're going to get something when they come here. Mr. No Personality Rainer. Yeah, exactly. But the point is still well made. It's hard to get to know someone if the only contact that you have is the digital world. I mean, obviously not many marriages last that only communicate with each other through the digital world.
So I've got an online degree and I've got a master's that I went in class for.
Right.
I don't remember one name from my professors of my online degree. I never built a relationship with them.
Wow.
But I still frequently talk to a couple of the professors I had in my in-person degree.
And the same.
And I'm not even working in that field anymore.
Well, I haven't had a digital degree, but I can remember my undergraduate professors, many of them in my finance major at University of Alabama back in the 70s.
There you go.
Mid-70s. So, yeah, that blended approach is beginning to come back a little bit. And the wise institutions are going to be the ones that don't say, okay, we're returning to the way it was, but what is the new model?
Because, number four, full-time on campus has advantages.
Oh, yeah, and you talked about it, getting to know people, getting to live in a culture with peers.
Seminary housing. Woo!
Oh, my goodness.
It's gotten better, too, Dr. Rainer,
From the gospel ghetto. Oh, my goodness. The real challenge, those of us that could afford a window unit, and I was one of those that could afford a window unit, were blessed because we were able
to the famous fried chicken.
Yeah, famous recipe fried chicken is where I worked, and I was able to buy a window unit. But also, our heat was steam radiator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was metal.
Yep. And you had to empty it or it made the noise.
Yeah. You had to stick a pin in it and let the water drain. Or every single night, I had to drain the radiator. So things have changed. But here's the thing about it is there were, probably 400 or 500 people, families in that complex at Seminary Village. Mm-hmm. Many of them I still have contact with today.
Huh.
And that was in the 80s. So that's one of the advantages. You mentioned another one, getting to know the professors.
Yeah.
The resources. I know that we have digital resources, but sometimes it's just neat to go to a library and check out the books that are there.
Well, every time we go and speak somewhere, it seems it never fails. One of your former students runs up to you. Oh, I had you for blank.
Yes.
And you're going, yeah, I don't I taught that class like 18 times. I don't remember you. Sorry. But
I didn't teach any class 18 times. Thank you. Well, but your point is well made.
Yeah. But and some of them you do remember.
Yes.
But they remember you.
In person.
In person.
Yeah.
And they come up to you and they talk about those. And I had you for X and you taught us this and you made us do this. And here's one of the projects. And I still use that or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard that so many times. So it's been a huge benefit for on campus.
And that is why in this latter stage of my life, I am surprising myself and we're going to bring more and more church answer stuff to in-person events.
Well, and seminaries and Bible colleges and even other groups, certification groups and stuff, they are seeing the benefit there and doing new things to try to allow it to be easier for people to come and have that on-campus experience. You mentioned the hybrid. We talk about the hybrid formats of the DMIN programs for Midwestern.
Right.
Almost every other episode, we talk about that, where you come and you study on campus, but you're still able to live where you are.
Yep.
But you're still getting...
That's the thing. You don't have to relocate.
Yeah.
But you still get some of that campus advantage.
Seminaries are doing what they can to make that more accessible, that on-campus experience more accessible, where you can get that benefit.
Hey, chapel experience is another major thing about being on campus. Some great preachers that have come there.
I'm jealous of the seminaries and some of the people they have. I mean, we have good people at Lifeway.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
But some of the seminaries.
Most of the seminaries have it like, twice a week, and Lifeway has it once a month. Yeah. So it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Bit different there.
All right, number five, certification as an alternative to degrees.
I love getting a degree. A degree is something that you can take with you, you can use. It is an entree to different areas that you probably would not have gotten otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I am not suggesting for one moment that you should minimize the importance of a degree. Degrees are important. Undergraduate, master's, PhDs, doctoral degrees, they're all important. But one of the trends that we're seeing is more and more church leaders are going for certification in a certain area. We're actually looking at some of those possibilities in partnership with the educational institutions.
But we also have two of them that we do.
Yeah.
Where you can get specific training in certain areas in church consultations and interim pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've had some cohorts in worship leadership and in church revitalization. So we're trying them as well.
Yeah.
And it's
intense specialization versus the broad degree program.
And that may be one of the characteristics of the certification that is different than the degree program. Many degree programs do have a focus.
Yes.
Yeah. You've got two masters. Mm-hmm. One's biblical studies.
Theological studies.
Okay. And MATS. Yeah. And then
Sports administration.
So the sports administration probably had a greater focus than.
Yeah. Because the theological studies is just broad. Kind of a general, general degree.
So a lot of the masters can have a focus, but a certification is really focused. Mm-hmm. You mentioned we have two, and we'll put them in the show notes. Two real good certifications. One of them is Church Consultation University. It is a certification to become a certified church consultant. It has surpassed my greatest hopes of how well it has done. And then we have another one, Interim Pastor University, be certified as interim pastor. And some people have asked the question, well, why do I need to be certified as interim pastor? Because the church that you want to go to wants to know that you have had training in this area. That's one of many reasons.
They want the best interim pastor they can get.
Yep.
And if you're certified and somebody else isn't, guess who has a better chance of getting that interim pastorate?
Exactly.
You do.
And it means that you've gone through the effort, that you have done whatever is necessary for that additional certification. So we're in that field at Church Answers.
And you're better prepared for what interim pastorates look like today.
Yes. Many interim pastorates of the past were preaching and a little bit of handholding.
Yeah.
Today, it is all over the place.
Churches are much more complicated.
Yep. And leadership in general is much more complicated, and culture is much more complex. So when you look at all of those issues, then you say, okay, I might need some help in those areas. I love being on the cutting edge of all this.
All right. Number six, training must meet the needs of the growing co-vocational numbers.
Let's talk about definitions. Definitions are not etched in stone. I think the North American Mission Board uses definitions similar to this. A bivocational minister has been the traditional nomenclature. And a bivocational ministry is a person who has a secular job and usually a church job, because the church can't afford to have them full-time in that position. That's been the traditional bivo job. Co-vocational is intentional dual ministry or dual occupation. It is being in a secular job and being in a church job. Give you an example. We have a student minister at our church named Seth, and I've given this example before, so if you've heard this on another podcast, forgive the redundancy. But Seth works at our church, the church at Spring Hill, as a student minister, and then he has a secular job as well. And as well, he's going to school, by the way, working on a digital MA in church revitalization. And his goal was, I want to get a degree so that I can go into ministry, quote unquote, full time. And he came up to me and he said, Dr. Rayner, I'm beginning to think I don't need to go full time into church work. He said, I have so many opportunities to share the gospel, to minister to people in my secular job. I think if I went to the Holy Huddle, his phrase, and also mine, I think if I went to the Holy Huddle of just being in the church world, that I would not have these opportunities. And he's exactly right. And that is why many people choose to go co-vocational. There's another example. In our previous episode, number 536, we talked about hiring several part-time staff rather than one. Some of those part-time staff could be like Jimmy Scroggins has a physician that works at one of his church campuses at Family Church. Sam has a business person that does.
Yeah.
It could be
school teachers.
It could be they chose to stay in their vocation, but they're also part-time at the church as well. So what must happen? Training must meet the needs of these growing co-vocational workers. And that means that we'll go back to digital. We go back to the fact that some of it may be certification. It goes back to these previous things. This is going to be a growing area, and it is a growing opportunity for institutions to meet a growing need. I think I said growing three times.
It's growing.
It is.
Yes. All right. One thing's not growing. Here's the problem here. There are shortages in key positions due to lack of ministry training in those areas.
Yesterday, again, we're recording this well ahead of time, but yesterday, from the day we recorded this, we had our Platinum group for their monthly cohort meeting. And this time we interviewed Mike Harlan. Mike Harlan, affectionately known as the Worship Guru, we've had him on several times on the podcast and other ways. And he was talking about changes in the world of worship leadership. And he mentioned this, and it's so true. He said, there's going to be a prolonged season where churches are still going to have difficulty finding worship leaders. He said, what has happened is the way we trained them is not for the church of today. The way we, seminaries, Bible yeah. colleges, whatever, is not for the church for today. And we're playing catch up on yeah. this.
I see the same thing in youth ministry.
There you go. And student ministry yeah. as well. How about children's ministry?
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything.
So okay.
That's part of the issue on the children's ministry side is that 20 years ago, nobody was training children's ministers.
All right, fair enough.
And they were everything was focused on music and youth of the church 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, pastoral training hasn't changed too much. It's been pretty consistent. And the pastoral job, while it's changed some, it's still a lot of pastoral care, preaching, teaching, and
evangelism
and church leadership. I mean, those have pretty much stayed the same.
Right.
They've changed themselves, but those big buckets have stayed. But youth ministry and music ministry has radically changed in 20 years. And there was nothing for children's ministry. Nobody had a children's ministry 20 years ago. Well, big churches
did.
Very few. Nobody had a focused children's ministry plan. You had a VBS director.
Yeah. For a season.
Yeah. And a Sunday school director. That's what
yeah.
you had.
Yeah.
So now it's more of a, you know, 365 day a year thing.
And you also usually had a nursery coordinator.
Yes, nursery coordinator. You had a preschool. Yeah. Somebody to run the preschool, somebody to help VBS, and somebody to maybe get Sunday school together for yep. children.
Right.
That's it.
So there the shortages in key positions. And why is that? It's because the training for these persons, and we've mentioned worship leadership, we've mentioned children's ministry, I think that there's a shortage of group leaders as well, because we have trained them primarily as educational ministers, but not all educational ministers have classic group training. They have a different form of.
Talk about something that's changed in 20 years.
Yes.
The small group Sunday school dynamic.
Oh, yes.
Good grief.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in denominations like Southern Baptist and some of them, it's not been quite as dramatic or quite as radical.
But my church is one of the few that has a traditional Sunday school only model.
Really?
Wow. So, in this area, at least.
In my church, we don't have room for that.
Yeah.
We just don't have the space to be able to do that. So these are new patterns in ministry training. Some of them may be familiar to you, some of them may not, but it is still worth watching them and seeing what happens. And one of the changes that we've seen over the years is with search committees.
Yes, and how they're finding their pastors and children's ministers and
I was contacted
whatever.
By a search committee chairman yesterday, and basically, he said, you need to meet with our search committee because what I fear we're going to do is we're going to look for a pastor the way we've always looked for a pastor, and we're not going to find that pastor that way.
Mm.
So,
wow,
things are changing.
And that's a big church, too.
Yes, it is.
Big church. All right, Vanderblumen Search Group, they have 12 Vanderblumen differences that allow them to serve their clients better than anyone else. One of those is that theology matters. Vanderblumen staff has more seminary and theological experience than any other search firm, with more than 250 collective years of church leadership experience. To learn more about all 12 of Vanderblumen's differences, visit vanderdifference.com. That's vanderdifference.com. Great, great website there. I love that name. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
I had to throw away my Vander socks. Wore them so much that I got a hole.
Wore them out. There you go.
Yeah. So I'm going to Vanderblumen in a couple of days in Houston, and maybe Holly, maybe even William.
Maybe they can get you some Vanderblumers.
Ooh, do they have Vanderblumers?
I don't think so.
We'll continue to look at these trends. We've looked in a previous episode, part-time staff, and this episode in ministry training. And what are we going to be looking at in the next episode as we start looking at future
trends? Facility crises.
Ooh, all right. That'll be,
yes.
Trend number three. That'll be interesting, if not depressing. So come back to Get Depressed.
One of the greatest predictors of a disciple's spiritual growth is regular Bible reading. That's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new resource in the Bible Studies for Life family contains content for a weekly group Bible study and also includes 5 daily devotions to reinforce what was learned in the group meeting. That daily commitment to reading God's Word helps create a habit that leads to discipleship. To download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide, visit BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. Once again, Rainer on Leadership is a proud member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.